The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Did you know that the same power that operated in Jesus is the power that operates in you? That's one. Number two, did you know that the authority that Jesus has right now is the same authority that Jesus will have for all eternity? That's two. And here's three. Did you know that Jesus has granted the highest honor to his church by making the church a part of his same eternity?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Yes, we do have a trivia question for you today. Keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation, which also means praise reports and prayer requests, because you get to share with the body of Christ, so that's totally awesome. But also keep in mind, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's just like radio. It's radio. Like we've said before, it's like two cans with a string. It's kind of like radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right, we're going to do something a little bit different in about 2 minutes or a minute and a half. I'm going to give a shout-out to somebody who's listening. His name is Jim Reed. We're going to talk about him in just a second. It's from Park Mount Lending, but I'm not doing that yet because I have to tell you a couple things that that happened, okay? Got to start off with the realities that happened. Okay, I will let you know now that Wonder Julie, who is the engineer for the show, she can testify that I have no hair on my head. I shave my head. I mean, it's a pretty
true story.
All right, true story. So today I've been shaving my head for a while. It's nothing new. It's the same head. It's not like it's changed. And I was feeling really good this morning. And what happened is I bought a razor online, and they sent me the wrong razor. And first I was like, oh, it's the wrong razor. I don't want to send it back. So what I did was I opened it up and decided to use it anyway. And it's the best razor I've ever used. I mean, is that fantastic? What a great story. Same price, everything, nothing weird. They just sent me the wrong ones. Like, oh, that's good. I'm shaving my head today with this razor that's fantastic. Can't even feel it. Unfortunately, about halfway through, I turned the blade the other direction, which means instead of shaving with the blade part, I was shaving with the back part. And the way that this thing's constructed, I gashed my head.
Ow.
In three places, more than I ever have before, bleeding everywhere, just looking at myself going, what is wrong with you? What is wrong? There's blood everywhere. And I'm like, and then my wife's looking at me like, what is wrong with you? There's something just wrong with me. I don't know how to shave my head that I've been shaving for 20 years. Isn't that sad? It's kind of a sad tale, right? Except I lost weight because I lost so much blood. That's one way to look at it, folks. All right. I do want to remind you, for those that don't know, it is National Angel Food Cake Day. Come on, that's better than the devil food cake. So it's Angel Food Cake Day. Ha! Let me give a big shout out to Jim Reed from Park Mount Lending. So what happened and how it goes, and most of you know, I tell you exactly what takes place in our lives and how it goes. I had a chance to meet with Jim. We talked. He asked me actually some pretty good questions. You know, do you have any questions for me? You know, he wants to know if it's going to be effective to be a sponsor for the show. And here's my honest answer to everybody. Boy, I hope so. That's my answer, because that's the truth. But the reality is, terrific guy, strong Christian, committed to making sure they're, by the way, their vision, dedicated to the American dream. They're trying to help people get financed. You got to think that's cool. Okay, there's nothing weird about that. The biggest key in everything is understanding that if he does become a sponsor, they do become a sponsor, him coming into the studio and getting the interviews, that's the key for you to get to know him. But I will give them this shout out. You can go to parkmont.com. No matter what, then he gets a little exposure, and that's just a cool thing. So we support that. And we support brothers and sisters in the Lord doing the best they can to service and to help other people. We just think it's a cool way to go about it, right? And if he becomes a part of the show, then there'll be a lot of times he'll be happy about it, and a couple times he won't be. That's pretty much what everybody's story is, I'm pretty sure. Okay, if you want to give them a call, you're welcome to call, reach out to them. But go to their website, Parkmont, parkmont.com. That will give you a chance. They do lending. And they're committed, you know, to helping people get financed. So he's going to throw everything into it, help you guys out, and get you to the right place. That's the intro for them. There you go. Everybody got that? Very cool. Okay. Next, I want to play. Do we have the sound for the 10-second thing? Do you? Can we play that? Listen to this. You won't believe what's happened in a day. Watch how the Lord moves things. Go ahead and play this sound.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yay! Okay, 10. What is that? That is the 10-second challenge. Right? That you know how fast that is? It's a 10-second challenge for you to wake up every day. Okay, so today is October 10th. Okay, exactly 23 months that we've been in Texas today in the house that we're in. We arrived on the evening of the 9th, spent the night at my son's house, and then moved into the house on the 10th. Here's the bottom line. 10 seconds a day. This is my challenge to you, to wake up and say to the Lord in that first hour that you wake up, it's 10 seconds, I present myself, use me in Jesus' name. Come on. It's not even 10 seconds. I'm saying 10 seconds because I know some of you are going to roll out of bed and go, and then you take about an hour. I mean, the redemption and forgiveness is in the blood. For some of you, waking up is in the coffee, let's be honest. So in that realm, I'm giving you 10 full seconds just to say, I present myself, use me in Jesus' name. Now, you could say, Lord, my Heavenly Father. You could say any way, any intro you want, any exit you want. I don't care. I'm just asking for these very simplistic. It's really five words I'm looking for you to use, and that is, I present myself, use me. Now, the Lord may not use you that day. There might be nothing that takes place, or there might be something that takes place. There might be a great opportunity for you to minister to somebody. There might be no opportunity for you to minister to somebody. That's not the point. The point is, I cannot believe, and this comes out of Romans chapter 6, verse 13, where it says that we are supposed to present ourselves to God as instruments of righteousness. It's not like you got to do a whole bunch of stuff to get this done. It's not like you got to take, it's not like a long procedure. You don't have to fast. You don't have to throw ashes on your head. You just wake up, and sometime in the first hour that you're up, you just say, I present myself, use me in Jesus' name. And we're going to talk not tomorrow, but on Monday, on why we pray in Jesus' name. And the real answer is why not? But we'll get to that later. The idea here is that we just take a moment to say before the Lord, here I am. Now, I know that more should be required, and more is required, and more is asked of us. I get that. But, man, you got to start somewhere. When I used to do my devotions, I've been a Christian, it'll be 41 years and 3 weeks. When I first did devotions, I did 10 or 15 minutes. And that would be between prayer and Bible. Now, I don't get out of the Bible or out of prayer, either one of those, in less than 40 to 45 minutes a piece a day for over 20 years without missing a day. The idea is that if you build somewhere, you start somewhere, you can build upon that. And all we're looking to do, it's kind of a challenge. It's just, hey, it's a 10-second challenge. Doesn't cost any money. Nobody gets any money from this. There is no dollars being exchanged, nothing like that. Just tell the Lord, I present myself, use me. And perhaps the Lord will use you in a mighty fashion, and perhaps he won't use you, but that's not the relevant point, is it? The point is that we're supposed to be available before the Lord on a regular basis. So I'm going to share this story before I'll start the expository in the next segment. But I'm going to share this story about this pastor who shared at a conference. It was a pastoral conference. There was probably, I don't know, 1,500 to 2,000 pastors, which anytime you can get that many pastors in a room and somebody speaks – and you can hear it, it's amazing, because that means that those other people aren't talking. The idea here is he was sharing about how he felt like the Lord was really trying to get him to be more responsive and more available and more aware of presenting himself before the Lord. And he presented himself before the Lord, and the Lord led him to go out to a park. And I've mentioned this story before, and he was in the park. And somebody came along, and he shared the gospel, and that person got saved. That's fantastic. A little while after that experience, he felt and believed that the Holy Spirit was leading him to go out to the park again. And he did, and nobody came by. Nothing happened. He was there for a couple hours, that nobody came and talked to him, nothing. So when he got back towards his house, he was praying, and he was like, what was that all about? He said, oh, what did I just miss? And he just really got the impression that the Lord was trying to communicate with him, I asked you to do it. That's it. There was nothing else to it. In other words, just because the Lord asks you to do something doesn't mean there's going to be this big glory and these balloons that go off and Skittles are shooting through the air and all these different colors. That's not what that means. If the Lord asks you to do something, you just do it. You just say, yes, Lord. Maybe something happens and you get to see it. Maybe the water turns into wine while you're bringing the water to the headmaster of the wedding. Maybe nothing happens. I don't know. That's not really the point. The point on the 10-second challenge and the point on the Christian walk is once you say, yes, Jesus, everything thereafter is yes, Lord. And whatever he wants, you do. And I've had, you know, people say, oh, I'm not going to do this. I don't think I can do this. If the Lord wants you to do it, you're going to do it. And I can give you a quick example if you want, because I only got about 20 seconds before we go to break. And that's Saul before he became the Apostle Paul. I'm pretty sure he wasn't thinking, I'm going to be a writer for the New Testament. He was on his donkey on the way to Damascus. God knocked him on his keister, blinded him, said hello, and changed the direction of his life. Not a lot of option at that point. You do what the Lord tells you. Okay? All right. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back with our expository in Ephesians. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, Frank.
Hey, Johnny.
How's retirement?
Well, I have to be at work at 7:30 in the morning.
Whoa, Frank. I thought you were retired.
Yeah, well, I didn't do a good job keeping my money safe, and when the market dropped, I lost half my money, so I had to go back to work.
So now what?
Well, you can have fries with that.
No, Frank, that's not what I mean. People have problems all the time. They make mistakes, but what are you going to do about it now?
Who's
going to
help me in my position? My finances are a mess.
You need my guy. Contact Jamie Blumenthal from Retirement Strategies and Solutions. He and his wife Nancy have helped over 600 clients just in the Dallas area. If he can help you, he'll let you know, and he won't charge anything for you to find out.
How do I get a hold of him?
Go to his website, retiretherightway.com. That's retiretherightway.com. You can also call him at 800-287-1667.
Thanks, Johnny.
No problem, Frank. Remember, plan right, retire right. Retire the right way, my friend. Get in touch with Jamie today.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Or the president of Focus on the Family. When you got that position, I'm talking the initial moment that you knew you were getting that position, were you thinking, what?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. Given my background, I was going, no, no, no. In fact, I got home, said to my wife, Jean, this is what I've been asked today. And she looked at me and said, who would have thunk it? That summed it up. That was that entire day. I was just like, oh, my goodness. My wife and I used to pray for the poor guy coming behind Dr. Dobson.
Now you were praying for yourself. You didn't even know it.
That's exactly right. Does he have a sense of humor or what?
That's great stuff. Excellent material and an excellent interview, Jim. I really appreciate it. You did a great job, and I just want to thank you from my whole heart just for all the work that you're doing, for the people that you're blessing, and for this project that you guys have been working on Irreplaceable. Nice job.
Thanks, David.
Snap, crackle, pop. That's not just an old cereal reference. That's the sound our bodies make when they're out of whack. Dr. B, Dr. Brandon Brown, owner of the Specific Chiropractic Center in Richardson, is here to help. If you're experiencing pain from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, it's time for a checkup, a chiropractic checkup. Reach out to Dr. B, Dr. Brandon Brown, for an evaluation. Less pain is a good thing. Are you suffering from a chronic condition that's not improving? You can call him at 972-454-9362. That's 972-454-9362. Or go directly to his website and schedule an appointment, drbrandonbrown.com. That's drbrandonbrown.com. If you tell him that you heard it on the David Spoon Experience, you might even get a lollipop. It feels good to feel good. Connect with the chiropractic doctor extraordinaire, Dr. B, Dr. Brandon Brown. Go to drbrandonbrown.com. Get hope, get well, live well, get to feeling groovy again.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to reach the show, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. That's the website, davidspoonmedia. I'm sorry, that's the email. You know, you'd think I get this right. After 142 times of doing it, you think I get this right. davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. That's the email. davidspoonmedia.com. That's the website. I think I got to flip those, right? You want to get in touch with me? davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Email. Website, davidspoonmedia.com. Facebook, David Spoon Media. YouTube, David Spoon Media. Let's go for our trivia question, then we're going to do our expository. Here is our trivia question. We're going to keep this one easy. I do have a trivia pun. It's kind of funny, but well, I might ask it if you call in. Don't be too freaked out, okay? I promise. Plus, we're going to try a new style of trivia in the second question. Here is the first question. Who, according to the book of James, what did I say? According to the book of James, who was called God's friend? Who was called God's friend? 972-445-0770. While you are contemplating that and looking through the book of James and not looking through Google, hello, we will play a new sound for our expository teaching. You might think it weird.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
That's right. I need therapy. What I got for you. That's our sound for expository teaching, because some people really like the expository teaching, so it's like, hallelujah. Okay, here we're going to get right to it, and then afterwards we'll talk about Clint and Mr. Restore in the next segment, and then Jamie in the segment after that. I want you to understand something about Ephesians. It's often called the Magna Carta of the Scriptures. It's a great, great book. It's a very powerful book. You can spend so much time in it. In fact, I have a friend, Daryl, who is a pastor, and he's teaching in Ephesians, and he's pulling out one Greek line at a pop. So you can just be thankful that we are at the end of chapter one in a short 5 weeks, because I have a feeling Daryl's going to be there for a long, 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 long time, like a year or longer. Anyhow, let's go with verse 19, and I just want to read it and talk to you about it and kind of deal with what it says. It says this, backing it up, I'm going to back it up to verse 18. I pray also the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you might know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Now, I want you to stop right there, because we read Scripture, and a lot of people do this. They don't read a lot on the intros. They come into these little sections, and because it's not one of those passages that's like, I can do all things in Christ, they just kind of think, oh, it's probably good, and I'll just kind of skip. You've got to understand that God took the time to communicate to you and I in Holy Writ for a reason. And in this passage, in verse 19 and verse 20, you get to find out one of the most amazing truths that exist in Scripture. The power that is used, and that was used in Jesus Christ's resurrection, ascension, and his position of dominion. The power, listen to what I'm saying, the power that was used is the same power that is used in your walk and in your engagement with the Lord. Let me rephrase that. Let me say it again, and I could say it probably 30 times and it probably could never capture the fullness of its truth. The same power that operated in Jesus in his ministry, in his resurrection, in his ascension, in his position, is the same power that operates in you. Get that? I want to make sure that you understand that in your life, the power of God operates through the Holy Spirit, and it's the same Holy Spirit that lives in you. It's the same Holy Spirit that guides you. It's the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. That's the Spirit that's working in you. It's the same power. Get that? I want you to catch that. We sit there and we talk about, well, I don't know if we can accomplish this, or I don't know if I can do this. Now, all I want you to do is take that same truth and phrase it with Jesus in the middle of it. Do you think God can accomplish this in your life if the same power that was working in Jesus is at work in you? I don't know if I could really reflect Jesus. Do you think the Holy Spirit is like going, I don't know. This person's body is different. I don't think so. This is the power of God operating in you. You know the power of God? He's the one who spoke and the universe came into existence. He took where there was no matter and created matter. He took where there was nothing and then there was something. What's really funny is if you get into the physics of it and you talk to people who are into the Big Bang Theory, every single one of them will tell you, well, there was nothing and then there was something. And you just go, well, without an agent to create that, that's actually impossible. So it's like, it's so funny. But in our case, we just point to God. And the same power that was operating in Jesus Christ, the same power that he was operating in ministry with, the same power is what's operating in you. Not just for you to look like Christ, but to have a ministry like Christ. And you know who said that? That you could have a ministry like his? Jesus. He said, these works will you do, and greater works. Now, some people argue, well, he meant quality or he meant quantity. What? I don't even care. Jesus is the one who said, hey, these works that I do, these works you will do, and even greater. If it's the number of works, great. We should be doing more works than Jesus as the church. Well, we are, Dave. It's feeding the poor. Feeding the poor is number 100 on a list of 100. How about telling people about eternity? How about confronting people in their sin? How about telling people to repent? How about having people seek first the kingdom of God? How about people operating in faith? How about people understanding eternity? How about laying up treasures in heaven? How about acknowledging that in the heart there's tons of sin and that has to be dealt with, because God is certainly going to call people on the carpet for it? Like, wow. You're getting all that out of that. Yeah. What's amazing is that we sell ourselves short in the kingdom of God. We're cutting ourselves. Oh, well, you know, that was Jesus. I know, but the same power that worked in Jesus is at work in you. You want to just deal with that straight up? Or you want to ignore the scripture? And just look at what he's saying. The power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. This is resurrection power that's operating in your life. That's operating in you. Is that amazing? I mean, come on. That's amazing to think that's the power that operates in you. And yet we sit there and walk around like we are nothing but, we are all but deficient. And it's like, are you serious? The Holy Spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is inside of you now. You're not insufficient. You're not lacking. The problem that we have when we go forward in the kingdom of God has got nothing to do with the power supply, so to speak. It's got nothing to do with the Spirit. It's got to do with us clogging the pipe. It's got to do with us shutting down the flow of the Spirit. It's got to do with us telling the Lord, I'm not presenting myself today. That's why things don't happen. You think, well, I know, Dave, but there's a lot of trials. There's a lot of troubles. There's a lot of struggles. Sure are. And you know who went through all of those? Jesus. You think it was a struggle for him to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane when he knew that his own creation was about to kill him? Like, yes. He even prayed to the Father that it would pass, that he didn't have to go through it. Guess what the Father said? Nope, that's the plan. We got to do it. This is what I'm trying to communicate, that Jesus got through, endured. The power that's working in him is the power that's working in you. You can get through. You can endure. You can do it. This isn't name it and claim it or positivity kind of mentality. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about recognizing how God operates in our lives. You know, at one point, you were void of Christian understanding. And then God, click, turned on the light bulb, and you got it. Well, guess what? That's the power of God operating in your life. Isn't that cool? You don't come behind in anything in Christ. You're loaded to bear. Not that we're using that. I'm just saying it's available. Maybe we could use it. Somebody once said, we have the mind of Christ. We just have this tremendous failure at using it. Like, oh, that's a good point, isn't it? Yeah, that's a good point. All right, I'm going to take a break, then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interest. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
Who is David Spoon?
We have on the line Tina from Elkhorn. Tina, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing today?
I am doing great.
Is this the first time you've heard the show?
No, I listen to you every time I get into my car when I leave my job.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Is there anything that we can be praying for just to be in agreement with you regarding anything that the Lord's working on in you?
Yeah, there is.
Okay, fire away.
First of all, I'd like to see my family's hearts turned. Second of all, I am not putting God first, and I'm not being obedient in certain ways. Let me sum it up a little bit. I have a boyfriend.
Okay.
I should answer it. So I really need prayer to get back on track with God.
Okay. Let me pray with you, okay?
Okay, thank you. All right,
let's pray. Lord, we just come before you right now, and we lift up Tina to you, and we ask you right now in the name of Jesus that first and foremost you would work on her family's hearts, that there'd be a softening and that there'd be a grace and a mercy given to the family and between the relationship that Tina has with the family, and we just pray that your mercy would prevail, and we just pray that you would encourage her. Instead of this being a discouragement, let this become an encouragement that she is a daughter of the Most High, seeking out help from her Heavenly Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. See if I can get this right. If you want to send us an email, good, Dave, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. If you want to visit our website, davidspoonmedia.com. This segment brought to you by our good friend Clint and the gang at Mr. Restore.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right,
MrRestore.com. And I know people are going, why do you do that? It's like saying Cool Whip. I mean, why are you saying it that way? Because if you say Mr. Restore too fast, it sounds like Mystery Store. It's like, well, you don't want that. You want MrRestore.com. MrRestore.com. They do free, first of all, they do fire and water damage cleanup, sewage removal, other restoration services from flood. They do free evaluations, advanced drying technologies. They work with all insurance companies. They're A-plus rated from the BBB. They got 50 years of restoration experience. They're family owned and operated, to 24/7 emergency response and on-site within 60 minutes. That's number one. Kinda. Number two, they got thousands of happy customers. A good thing. Number three, they're working with the Adaptive Training Foundation, which is a great foundation, which we have a link on our website for that now. So that's another thing. You want to get in touch with Clint. If you got anything going on, they will help you. They are at the top of the game here. 877-631-7576. 877-631-7576. MrRestore.com. Okay. I did that pretty clearly, I think. I feel bad just telling some people about the shaving thing with my head. I wasn't trying to gross anybody out. It's just, after you've done something for 5 years, or maybe 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, when you do something and you do it really bad, you're like going, what is going on? I don't know. It's one of those weird things. All right, so we were just talking about in Ephesians how we have the same power that operated in Jesus, and that's the power that's operating in you and I. Now I want to talk to you about something else, which is amazing. We won't spend a ton of time doing it, and I will get to hit up on the trivia again real quickly, but we're going to talk about the authority that Jesus has. So before we get there, let's hit up on our trivia question again. The question was pretty simple. Who was called God's friend? The answer to this is in James chapter 2, if you're trying to figure out where it is, which I appreciate that people don't do the search stuff, that they genuinely try to remember or look. And I don't really mind if you use a concordance. There's no point in just doing it in the Google-wise. I want you to look at it through Scripture so that you can embrace the Scripture. That's really the whole point of that. Okay? All right. Let's talk about this next section. Oh, by the way, the number here, if you decide you know the answer to God's friend, who is God's friend, 972-445-0770, 972-445-0770. Here is what the passage says about Jesus being seated at the right hand of the heavenly realm. In verse 21, it says, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God has placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church. Uh-oh. So let's talk about this next point. So the first point was understanding that we have the same power and operate in the same power that Jesus, we have that same power operating in us that operate in Jesus. Here's the next point. Did you know that the authority that Jesus Christ has right now is the same authority that Jesus will have for all eternity? Before you freak out, especially if you're into the millennium, don't misunderstand. He doesn't have any less authority right now than he will in 20,000 years or 100,000 years or a million years. He's not exercising that authority as he will for those who are millennialists in the millennium reign the way he will, but it's not as though he's got to receive it. He has the authority, and the key is understanding why Jesus has the authority. Jesus doesn't have the authority because they're all bored up in heaven and they're trying to come up with something. Jesus has the authority for the sake of his church. That's what you see. What happens is we get so caught up in what's going on in the world. And let's just be honest. You look at, you know, what's going on politically, and you're probably thinking, it's a nut house. My wife came in from work the other day, which, by the way, she's finally off. And I think she gets Saturday off, her first day off in 13 days, which is kind of nice. And she news was on for like 2 minutes, and she said, same thing, different day. She didn't even listen because it's just like it's maddening. It just never ends. It keeps going. Well, why that's important is because as important as it seems right now and as freaked out as everybody is getting, stuff like this has happened before. Not the same way with the media because the mass communication is different, but Rome went through something similar, and then they went through something similar in World War II. I know you don't want to kind of acknowledge it, but they thought for sure that Adolf Hitler was the Antichrist because he was killing all the Jews. I mean, there's a lot there that you could really get into. Not only was he not a Christian, but he believed in what's called the Volk spirit, which is one of my papers that I wrote in college, and that has to do with the superiority spirit of their race over all people, specifically over the Jews who were God's chosen people. So he was never a Christian. He was never – I mean, all that stuff's ridiculous. It's like just throw that stuff out. But the bottom line is this. All that stuff that's going on, nothing. Why? Because Jesus is still in charge. It's not like Jesus is up there going, uh-oh, CNN's got a report coming out. Yeah. What am I going to do? Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. CNN's doing more than – it's like, give me a break. You think God is worried about the media in America? You got to be kidding. In Jesus Christ, we see the resurrection power, the ascension power, the dominion power, and we have been granted, because that power is given to him for the sake of the church, this life-giving, position-raising, conquering connection with Jesus, and then we're the ones who are retreating because we're afraid of the world, or we're afraid of Satan, or we're afraid of whatever, and it's like, what is the matter with us? The gates of hell cannot stand against the truth of the gospel. What are we backing down for? I mean, I have this big theory. I got in a lot of trouble at my last place. for bringing this theory up. I said, you know, if the Christians really wanted to get it together, the economy operates in roughly about $16 trillion a year, of which 30% are some kind of Christian faith, $4 trillion. The Christians should get together and go, we're going to cripple everything until you guys start being that. I mean, there's a lot of power there. But what the Christians do is they retreat, you know, like children. You know, don't want to be seen, don't want to be heard, don't want to offend anybody. If you don't want to offend anybody, don't be a Christian. How about that? Jesus was so offensive, he split the world in two. You're either a goat or a sheep. Now, I don't care. I mean, it's not that you can care about people who say you're one or the other. Well, there should be a third. There should be a gweet or something. You know, this is like the, not just man, not just woman, but we need to have another, you know, another sex altogether. We got to have. And now in London, there's 100 different genders. No, there's not. There's two. Okay? It's just that simple. And you know what? There's goat and there's sheep. Antelope are not in the mix, and neither are bears, and neither are deer or anything. Goat and sheep. You're going to be one or the other. That's it. Move on. Light or darkness. And woe unto them that put darkness for light and light for darkness, the scripture says. Whoa. That's not a good thing, is it? Nope, it's not. And we're the ones in retreat. Why are we retreating? Our Lord is in charge. Does that mean we should be obnoxious and physical? He was not. He just spoke the truth. And you know why they got so mad at Jesus? They didn't get mad at Jesus because he created a big coup and had weapons. And so, you know what he did? He just spoke truth. And the truth cuts through the lies. Oh, by the way, who's the father of lies? Oh, Satan. And who is it that he uses but false prophets and demons to convince the masses? Okay. Just know the truth. You're a child of the Most High God. Jesus is on the throne. He reigns. You don't have to be afraid. Now, I'm with you. I hope the trumpet blows and out we go. I hope it happens before I finish this sentence. But in lieu of the fact that it probably won't, and I still will have to probably drive home in Dallas traffic, which will take at least an hour, and if that's raining, it'll take 6 hours, here's the bottom line. I'm not going to quit, lay down, or roll over. I am going to be what the church is called to be, part of the pillar and foundation of the truth. That's what the church is. No, Dave, the church is a big soup kitchen. No, it's not. It's the pillar and foundation of the truth. That's what the church is. And we stand by the truth. Well, that offends people. What's our favorite word when we offend somebody?
Tough.
Tough. Too bad. Oh, well, you know, that and a nickel, you still can't buy a candy. That's just the bottom line. I could say that and a dollar you can buy a candy, but it used to be a nickel, then it was a dime, then it was a quarter. Now it was, those days are over. I saw a movie the other day. It was a dime for a phone. Yeah, what universe is that now? Anyway, my point is this. Jesus is on the throne. Stop freaking out. Calm down. Okay? Relax. Take a deep breath. In an hour, he's still going to be on the throne. Those guys might not be on the air, but he will still be on the throne. Okay? All right. Take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Fact, Medicare is a national health insurance program. Fact, Medicare can be confusing and doesn't always provide enough coverage for seniors' needs. The answer is the Benefit Link. This is a zero-cost service that helps seniors navigate their Medicare options by providing objective advice and personal support. Fact, for no cost, the Benefit Link has advocates available on a direct basis every day who are ready to help you. Call 972-BENEFIT. That's 972-BENEFIT. Or go to thebenefitlink.com. That's thebenefitlink.com. The Benefit Link is passionate about providing peace of mind. Fact, This is great for you. So act now.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Hey, jing-a-dee-jing, it's Dominic the Donkey, jing-a-dee-jing, the Italian Christmas Donkey, la, 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 la.
Oh, that is...
La, 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 la.
You asked for zany, my friend.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. So we, being not... completely unlike, you know, Christmas Vacation in Chevy Chase and so on and so forth. We got a really big tree, slapped it up on the car. Of course, it scratched the car to no end. Remember, I'm Jewish and I'm trying to follow the Christmas holiday. It's got nothing to do with my Christianity. I like Christmas. I like the season and so on and so forth. I have no problem celebrating any specific time, picking a time, and we're as close as we can be celebrating the birth of Christ. It's awesome. It's a great time of year. But you're talking about me fighting a tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I hack off a few branches. And unfortunately, what I hacked off with the axe wasn't enough. Because I was right there again, holding the Christmas tree with my feet on the door, trying to pull it in. Hey, you know what? The Christmas tree was not coming in. So you know what I did? I hacked off a few more pieces. But then, instead of just trying to pull the tree in, I hacked off a few more pieces. By this point, I have decided that Christmas is a pagan holiday that only people who are supporting Christmas presents have created, and Jewish people who believe in Jesus should not be celebrating Christmas, and I'm crashing the... and I've got the act up, and I'm crushing it, and I'm going to get this tree in, and you would not believe it, but after doing that for 15 minutes, I still could not get the tree in the house. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I get so enthralled in that story, I forgot that we were coming right back. It's just what happens. I can't. It's a funny story. You should have seen them, and it was it wasn't funny when it happened, but with the telling, it always gets better. Email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website davidspoonmedia.com. I'm going to throw out one more opportunity on the trivia question, because the next section I'm going to teach is one of the all-time great things that is in Ephesians, period. Here is the question: who was called God's friend? Who's called God's friend? Now, if you have the answer, I'm only going to do a short thingy with you, just give you the answer, or if you want, you can give it to Wonder Julie, that's fine. But who was called God's friend? That's it. 972-445-0770. By the way, that's one of my deepest passions, personal passions, is I want to go through this journey, and besides him being the Lord, besides him being my Savior, I want to be in that friendship capacity. I just think that's the coolest thing ever. But that's just personal. Let us deal with the very last verse in Ephesians chapter 1, which is an amazing verse, even to the effect that John Calvin had something pretty interesting to say about it as well. Here's verse 23, and I'm going to do it together with verse 22. It says this: "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." I've read that. Oh, now I've read it almost 200 times, and I think the first 150 times I never got it. God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So there's a lot of commentators and teachers and theologians that believe that when it says the fullness of Christ, that means that the body is filled by Christ. In other words, they're using kind of a Revelation chapter 1 mentality, saying Jesus is in the midst of the body, so it's his body, and it's the fullness of Jesus is in the body, and that's how that connection works, and he fills everything in every way, and there's nothing wrong with that approach. I don't take that approach, but I think that approach is solid. Just in case you're wondering, there's nothing wrong with that. But I see it more the way that John Calvin sees it. I see it more that some other theologians see it, and that is this way. And this is amazing, so just hold on. It says, he appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him. The RSV, the Revised Standard Version, translates the fullness of him as the completeness of him. There's a couple other translations that actually do the same thing. If you read that text that way, it would say, which is his body, the completeness of him who fills everything in every way. Let's establish something theologically right off the bat. God is not incomplete without you. As cool as that is in theology, that part does not exist. But what he does is he considers himself incomplete without you. In other words, he's not. He's self-reliant. He's self-sufficient. But as eternity goes, he makes it so that you and me get to share eternity with Jesus. So not only, by the way, do we have the same power that operated in Jesus, that operates in you and I, not only is the authority of Jesus the same right now as it's going to be for all eternity, but God has granted us the highest honor to his church by making us a part of the same eternity as Jesus. And he considers that eternity incomplete without the church. So if you read it with that way, it would say God placed all things under his feet and appointed him the head to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the completeness of him who fills everything in every way. The church is so connected to the Lord that he considers the whole process incomplete without the church. That's how much he loves us. John Calvin said something that I thought was amazing. His quote was, this is the highest honor of the church, period. You think, why? Why would it be the highest honor? Because God, going into eternity, is saying, I want you, the church, to be with me. And no, he does not say that because he has to love you, but he doesn't like you. How dumb is that? Boy, I can't believe the devil pulls stuff off like that. He says that so that you and I will grasp that it is all about him wanting to spend eternity with us because he loves us, he likes us, he wants to be with us, he's our creator, we're his creation, and that's how it works. What an honor that you and I have to be in the mind of God, thought of in a way that we are to share eternity with Jesus. That's how much love that God has for us. Amazing. His body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. He makes it so that we're doing it together, that it's a joint venture. It's really funny if you understand, because Scripture, though directed by the Lord, was still written by man as man was carried along by the Holy Spirit. It was still a joint venture. And when we go into eternity, it's going to be a joint venture. And you think, well, what are we going to do? No idea. I mean, we know we'll worship the Lord. We know it'll be this. We know it'll be this. We know it'll be fantastic. It's beyond our comprehension. But we're going to do something with God that's so cool, our minds can't grasp it. And you think, well, how can you say that? Because Jesus said, well, I tell you of earthly things, and you can't get that. How can I ever tell you of heavenly things? That's way beyond you guys. Like, wow. So what I want you to get out of this portion is understanding that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 6 is salvation by God the Father, 7 through 12 is salvation by God the Son. 13 and 14 is salvation by God the Spirit. In verses 15 through 23, we find a prayer for the Ephesians to go know God intimately in order for them to know the certainties they have and to know, and in knowing that, they may see and understand the highest honor, which is God saying, I don't want to do eternity without you. Let me give you a present day example so that you can connect it. My wife and I love each other. She is the darling of my existence. I don't want, the Lord is the best of all. But on a human plane, I don't want to do life without her. That's what God is saying about you and I. He doesn't want to do eternity without us. Now, you can understand that. Oh, that guy doesn't want to. He doesn't want to do life without his wife. They love each other so much. Well, that's how much God loves us. He doesn't want to do eternity without us. Is that powerful? That is powerful. That is powerful stuff right there. Chapter one is our position in salvation and our position in relationship. That's what Ephesians chapter 1 begins. Now, the next five chapters build on that. We're going to see how Satan gets involved. He's in the very next chapter. We're going to see how heaven is involved, how the heavenly powers are involved. It's all coming up. But catch that God doesn't want to do eternity without you. He wants to spend eternity with you. Just like we wouldn't want to do life without somebody that's close to us, that's how God feels about us. That's kind of cool. I think it's cool. In answer to the question, because I can't wait around. I don't have the opportunity to. The answer, who was called God's friend? That would be Abraham. James chapter 2, verse 23. If you want to look it up for a reference, Abraham was called the friend of God. It's amazing if you will understand this. If you look at Matthew 1:1, all of the New Testament comes through. First verse in the New Testament comes through Abraham and David. Just go look at it. Just go look at Matthew 1:1. You'll be like, whoa, totally awesome stuff. The other thing is don't forget the 10-second challenge. I'm asking you to make a 10-second challenge. It's on our website, davidspoonmedia.com. Just pretty simple, pretty straightforward. The prayer is even laid out. I think there's 9 words. I've timed it 3 times, and when I do one Mississippi between the words, it still gets done in 10 seconds. You can do it, I believe. Okay? Tomorrow, we are going to have a blast talking about Nebuchadnezzar, who turned into a cow. We'll get into that. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Thanks a lot. The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.